Do you know how your U.S. representative and senators are voting in Washington, D.C.? Are they honoring their oath of office to the Constitution? In this program, we're going to talk about how you can not only find out if you don't already know, but how you can inform your fellow citizens. Let's take a look. This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit, and today we have with us Peter Rykowski. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Gary.
Well, thank you, Peter. Well, Peter, you're on the staff of the John Birch Society, and you're up to your neck in research, and you head the research effort and are very involved with the Freedom Index, which is a voting rating showing how every member of the House and Senate, how they cast their votes on key issues. So how are they doing?
Well, they're not doing very well overall. In the most recent issue of the Freedom Index, the fourth issue of the 117th Congress, which just ended, the average score for the House was 38%, and for the Senate it was 31%. And then for, based on the different parties, the Republicans got 71% in the House, 60% in the Senate, and the Democrats received 7% of the House and 2% of the Senate. Both parties, both chambers, received low scores. 60%, 71%. If they were in school, they would be getting C's and D's. Yep. So terrible scores. But there were a few representatives and one senator who received 100%.
Who was Rand Paul?
Right, Rand Paul in the Senate, and then a few representatives in the House, including Thomas Massey, and a few others.
Right.
So that is encouraging, but overall, many of them voted contrary to the U.S. Constitution.
Right. Now, this index that you're describing in terms of how people voted, that's in the January 30th issue of the New American Magazine. And we'll, of course, in the description to this video, include a link where people can actually go and take a look at these scores. But I think it's important, Peter, to keep in mind that this should not be challenging for somebody who's a congressman to get 100% or at least get close to 100%. I mean, obviously, sometimes there can be reasonable disagreement among constitutionalists. You know, occasionally there can be such disagreement on a particular vote. But if somebody is honoring his oath of office, and of course every member of the House and every member of the Senate takes a solemn oath to support the Constitution of the United States, how on earth could they be getting scores that low?
And that's a really good question. A lot of them, they blatantly ignore the Constitution. I mean, the Constitution is very clear on what powers Congress has and what powers it does not have. And as James Madison explained in Federalist Number 45, the federal government's powers are, quote, few and defined. And the Constitution very clearly outlines those very few powers.
Right.
And in the various spending bills that Congress passes and many of the other legislation that they vote on, it clearly goes outside those very clear boundaries. So a lot of them, they just don't care about following their oaths. So it's very unfortunate to see that.
Now, one of the things I really like about the Freedom Index, and of course you're involved with researching the votes, and we have a team of people, myself included, but selecting the votes and writing the descriptions and so forth, is we do not merely present a percentage. And we do not merely say, okay, here's a vote on abortion, period, or here's a vote on this spending bill. But we provide a summary, a one-paragraph summary describing what the bill is about, the essence of the bill. And then we have another paragraph that explains why we take the position that we do. We will say, for example, that a congressman who votes yay on this particular piece of legislation is taking the constitutional position because. And we explain why that is the constitutional position and why voting the opposite is the unconstitutional position. Have you ever seen anybody else put out an index like that?
I have not. And so, I mean, really, the Freedom Index is a very unique tool in that sense. It's not just a rating of the individual congressman, but it's really an educational tool, including on the U.S. Constitution and, you know, what, you know, the various aspects of it. So each description is essentially a mini lesson on individual portions of the Constitution. So, right. Yeah, I mean, the Freedom Index is a unique tool because of that.
Right. And that's very interesting what you said about every description providing a miniature lesson on the Constitution, because we're looking at, what is it, 10 key votes in the House and 10 key votes in the Senate. And really, that is presenting 20 lessons on the Constitution. And, of course, somebody could just take a look at the overall score, you know, the overall percentage. And as you pointed out, you know, there was one senator, Rand Paul, got 100%. And I believe in the last index, what was it, 11? Let's see, that's right, 11 representatives got 100% as well. But you can look at those scores. But you can also drill deeper and read these descriptions and really profit from them.
Yeah, yeah, that is completely true. You know, just going through it can be very, you know, enlightening to people.
Right.
So it's good to not only read it, but also to share the Freedom Index with other people, you know, who you might know, you know, influential people in your community, business owners, you know, elected officials even. So it's a really good tool for the reasons that you mentioned.
Right. And of course, it could be disheartening when you look at the scores, you know, particularly for the Democrats. And what really matters is whether somebody supports the Constitution or does not. They don't take an oath to support the party. They take an oath to support the Constitution. And I remember some years ago, Congressman Larry McDonald, before he was lost at sea on Flight 007, that was shot down by the Soviet Union back in the early 1980s. But he was, at the time, chairman of the John Birch Society. He also was a member of Congress. He was a Democrat. And he would get 100% every single time in what was then the Conservative Index, which was the precursor to the Freedom Index. But my goodness, these days, there's no Democrat who gets 100% or anywhere close to it. But when you look at these percentages, you know, again, it can be discouraging. But do you see any hopeful signs there?
Well, the number of 100% percenters has grown a little bit in the past few years.
Right.
So a few weeks ago, as of this this filming, we saw the battle for the House Speaker.
Yes.
And there were about 20 Republicans who held that up. All 20 of them had decently high Freedom Index scores, some 100 percenters, some of them in the 90s. But we have a growing number of them who are in the hundreds, 90s, even 80s.
Right.
And those scores are encouraging to see.
So even though the average score is pretty pathetic, if you look at the core of constitutionalist-minded congressmen, you would say that core is growing.
Yes, I completely agree with that. It is growing. So overall, the scores are not good at all, but there is a growing core, and that's encouraging
right.
to see.
And would you say the growing core is a result of happenstance, or why is that core growing? What's happening?
Well, a huge reason is because of the education that the John Birch Society is providing on the U.S. Constitution, on our republic's founding principles, mm-hmm. and as we educate the electorate, they'll be voting in congressmen, you know, representatives, senators, and other elected officials who take their roles to the Constitution seriously.
Right.
And then once they're in office, they'll act accordingly based on, you know, the education they have, based on pressure from the voters who are educated and, you know, simply taking their oath seriously.
Exactly. And, you know, I can remember years ago, there might be one or two 100 percenters. You know, I mentioned Larry McDonald already. He used to get 100%, but he was virtually alone. And, of course, in more recent years, when Ron Paul was in Congress, he would consistently get 100%, but there might be one or two others. And but that number has grown in recent years. And, you know, without that, do you think that the speakership could have become this big controversy that it became very recently? And all these votes where Kevin McCarthy was not able to get the votes to become speaker, you know, what if that court didn't exist? Would that battle even have occurred?
No, I do not believe that would have happened because there were 20 of them. So in previous Freedom Index, going far back, mm-hmm. we might have 1, 2, 3 with 100%. Three is not would not have been enough to keep McCarthy. Three would not have been enough to prevent that fight from happening.
Do you know what Kevin McCarthy's score is in the Freedom Index?
So for the 117th Congress, McCarthy received a 74% mm-hmm. for the whole 117th Congress.
It's obviously better than a lot of them, but it's still pretty pathetic for one who takes an oath to honor the Constitution.
Right. If he were in school, he would have received a C in a class.
Right.
So not a good grade at all.
Right.
Meanwhile, some of the Republicans who challenged him, so there was Chip Roy, who received 100%.
Mm-hmm.
There was Matt Gaetz, who received, I believe, 97%.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Boebert, I believe, she received a 95% on the Freedom Index, so much higher than Kevin McCarthy with 74%. So there's a very clear difference between his score and the score of the people challenging him. And then I also just want to point out that oftentimes when there's a Democrat as president and a Democrat majority in Congress, the Republicans historically have tended to do better
right.
than in other Congresses simply because they're in the minority and because the Democrats tend to be pushing their favored legislation, which the Republicans often oppose simply for partisan reasons.
Right.
So for those reasons, you know, their scores, even though McCarthy's 74%, it's still not good at all compared to the others.
Right. And of course, we need to get this information out because very few people are actually aware of how their congressman votes. And they may think they know because they hear the rhetoric, but obviously oftentimes, in fact, almost all the time I would say, there is a huge difference between the rhetoric and the record. So we do have the Freedom Index available in the January 30th issue of the New American Magazine. We also have a version of the Freedom Index online, but the Freedom Index is looking at, as discussed earlier, every member of the House and Senate, and that's 535 people. But I know, Peter, you've been working on other projects, taking information from the Freedom Index and zeroing in on particular congressmen so that somebody in any congressional district can get a scorecard showing how his own representative votes, where you're not looking at all 535. And also we have these legislative scorecards as well. So just to kind of wrap up the program, could you explain the various things, the various tools that are available for people to wake the town and tell the people and get them involved?
Yeah. So as we were talking about, we have the Freedom Index, which shows mm-hmm. all 535 representatives and senators.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of them in one giant list. And then, as you mentioned, Gary, we have the congressional scorecards and the state legislative scorecards. And I have copies of them right here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking a single representative or senator, taking 6 votes from the Freedom Index, and then putting it in a, you know, on a scorecard format that anyone can print out on their home printer, and then distribute individually to people, say at town hall meetings,
right.
at other events like that.
Did you turn that around so we can see the actual votes?
Right. Yeah, and then it's not just the actual votes, but also, you know, the descriptions of the vote, why it's
right.
You know, in line with the Constitution or how it violates the Constitution, Then for spending bills, it also includes the amount of money spent per household.
Right.
So that can really hit home for people. And that's the case for the congressional scorecards. And then, as you also mentioned, the legislative scorecards, which are for the state legislators.
Right.
Because state legislators are just as important, if not even more important than Congress, just because of all the issues that they deal with and legislate on. For example, the Constitutional Convention,
right.
The COVID mandates, election integrity, so many other issues.
Yeah,
so,
including, I would say, stopping federal usurpation.
Right.
Exercising the rightful power of nullification.
Right, yeah. State legislators can use the Constitution to push back and to nullify those unconstitutional federal laws.
Right.
So those are all things that the state legislators can do. So these scorecards are things that anyone can take, print out, distribute, and educate people on how the legislators are doing and voting. And, you know, hopefully with that education, the legislators will begin voting better,
mm-hmm.
more in line with the Constitution and the principles of liberty. So
right.
they're free, they're publicly available on thenewamerican.com or thefreedomindex.org.
Thank you, Peter. And for our viewers, we encourage everybody to go to thenewamerican.com, and you'll see in the menu at the top the Freedom Index, to click on that and go from there and use the resources that we've made available to inform not only yourselves, but to inform others. And by getting the word out, what we've seen over and over again in various congressional districts, that when the work is done to inform the people, it really makes a difference as to how the congressmen vote. Thank you.
My job is pretty straightforward. There's just too much baloney out there. At the New American, they cut through the baloney and give me the truth.